guys for being here. I know this is kind of the last big hurrah of summer, but we got a really good day coming up today. You've obviously noticed we're doing the Lord's Supper. If you didn't know that before you got here, now you know it. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a little bit. But we're also going to hear from our team, Germany. And then we had a big kind of a youth welcome breakfast. What's the Advancement Sunday over in our children's ministry over here in the West Wing, as we call it, over here, our children's ministry. If they were in second grade, they're now in third grade, even though they may not have started school yet. So take a moment, and go meet your child's new worker, leader, helper, teacher, whatever. When you just say, hey, I'm so-and-so's parents, it always helps them to put a face with the name. So they'll know who they're talking to if they call your house to say, hey, I'm going to tell you how cool your kid is or something like that. Take a minute to do that. I don't know why I got this chance thing in my head. Anyway, then look in your Justin notes. I want to point out a couple of things. We have today at 3 p.m. Discovery 3.0. If you want to know where you fit, how you can minister, and maybe you don't really have a feel for that, we want to help you do that. The goal is not information. The goal is to plug you in somewhere. That's really what we're shooting for today, from 3 to 5:30. And then at 6 o'clock in the summit, which is over in the southeast kind of corner of the building of the campus here, Jim Archer is going to do his Build a Brain workshop. Wives, this is not for your husbands. Parents, this is for your children. This is to help you become a more effective parent. He's going to explain a lot of really cool stuff that really smart guys like him know how to talk about and share with really dumb guys like me. So anyway, that's at 6 o'clock. It goes until 8. We want you guys to really take advantage of everything you can, because this is great, great, great stuff. Also in your Justin notes, if you'll look, we need your help. And one of the main places we need your help is with welcoming and greeting and those kind of things. A couple of ways. Everybody here can cook, right? Some of you guys can slice and bake. Some of you guys can do it from scratch. We need 30 people to make 4 dozen cookies, because there's tens of thousands of university students that are arriving, even as we speak, here in Lubbock for the fall semester. So some of you guys are here. Welcome back home. Some of you guys, welcome here for the first time. We even had some university students early service today. It was a great thing. But we want to welcome them, and this is kind of our part with a group of other churches and ministries to kind of help welcome them. We need those cookies here in the building by noon tomorrow. So go in, slice and bake some stuff, or make your grandmother's secret recipe. We will love you and appreciate you greatly. You can give those to Randy Bunyard as well. And then notice another greeting thing we need. We're trying to recruit 8 to 10 greeters. If you kind of have an outgoing personality, we want you. We're gonna kind of amp up our welcome and greeting ministry, but we need people, we need bodies who are willing, bodies who have those kind of outgoing skills to help us out with that. Don't worry about what to say or how to do it. We will train you, and just know that that's coming. So if you can help us with those things, see me or see Steve Cobb, and we'll have that going, and it'll be a great, great deal. Another thing, I told you it's a big Sunday, right? A lot of stuff going on. After this service, we got baptisms over in the north parking lot. So we want to celebrate those. If you can stay around and help us out with those. Guys, I hope that should make you applaud, right? Right? It's okay. It's okay. This is the Heights. You can clap. It's all right. We don't sit there and go, oh, no, we've got to be austere. No. Be happy, all right? Let's clap some. But we have some baptisms in the north parking lot. Great, great opportunity to share and see what God is doing, what God has done. So a lot of great stuff going on. Before that, we've got worship in a lot of ways. We want you guys to be a part of every part of it. Just I'm gonna go back to my days of raising back on the wild plains of Texas, up north of here. And we want you to worship your guts out, okay? Can you do that? Can you do that? All right, let's pray and begin this thing. Father, you're great. Lord, we have just sung of a great victory that you won with the children of Israel at Jericho. Lord, it was improbable. It was impossible. Stuff like that doesn't happen except with you. So, Lord, we give you glory for that, Lord, as we remember that. But, Lord, as we look in our own lives and we see the obstacles, we see the things that seem insurmountable, physical, medical, economical, all those things, Lord, they're yours. And so we give them to you this morning. We are yours. And so, Lord, we lift our faces, our voices, our hands. We want to declare your greatness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Those that are in the desert today, Father, just remind them that you're with them. God, just hold them up. We love you so much, and we just ask that you speak through Mike and just speak into our hearts today. Amen.
Well, it's good to be home. It's good to be with the people. We had an amazing, amazing time. We want you guys to hear some of what God did, not because we want to show you our cheesy vacation videos or because we want you to go through our photo albums or anything, but you guys invested in this. I have a business background, sold securities and did all kinds of financial planning for a number of years till they ran me out of the business because I went broke. But when we would have a shareholders meeting, it was a big day because you got to find out all the really cool things that happened within the business. You got to kind of catch a vision of stuff that was going to happen in the future. And we hope to achieve some of that today. So we're calling this shareholders meeting and that kind of stuff. If Team A, if you guys are here, if you guys want to go ahead and come up behind me, just a few opening remarks. Over in the book of Acts chapter 14, after the very first mission journey, this was Paul and Barnabas 2,000 years ago. It was said that in Acts chapter 14, that after they arrived in Antioch, which was their sending church, they called the church together and reported about their trip, telling all that God had done and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. We want you to hear about all that God has done and how he has opened a door of faith to people today. We want you to be encouraged by that because here's the deal. It wasn't just about a group of people going. It was about the fact that you sent them. and you supported them. Some of you guys gave money, a lot of money. Some of you guys prayed every day. You guys were encouraging them and commenting on Facebook as they would send those reports in. And it was very much a group effort, because it's not about individuals, it's about shareholders. It's about the fact that this is a Heights Fellowship thing. Really, it's a God thing. And we hold shares in that work. And so this is your work, not their work. It's our work. It's God's work. And so we want them to begin to share. Just a couple of things to think about as we enter into this. With every mission type endeavor, local, domestic, international, that we do here at the Heights Fellowship, there are two main core things. Number one is this. We want to make sure that we share the gospel wherever, whenever we can. However the Lord opens the door for that to happen, we want to make sure that we're doing that. And so we go with that express intent. The second thing is not far from that. It has to do with encouraging the saints. Here's what we don't want to happen. We don't want our team to leave the field, wherever it is, and have the people we worked with, missionaries or locals or whoever, go, "I am so glad they're gone. They were wearing me out, man. All we did was run them from here to there, and they're exhausted at the end of it." We're all exhausted, but we want the exhaustion to be, you know what? God took us so far forward. We were so far ahead based on what happened over the last couple of days or weeks or whatever than we ever would have been without it. And we want them to rejoice. Let me tell you something. We heard that from locals. We heard that from local pastors. We heard that from missionaries. We heard that this trip on all ends of this thing. Because this is the way God would have us do it. And there are a lot of other things. Sometimes we go to build. Sometimes we go to do prayer walking. Sometimes we get to overtly share the gospel constantly. We do VBS or services. All those kind of things. But ultimately, those two things, share the gospel, encourage the saints. We accomplish that. Now, you're going to get to hear how. I'm going to hand off to Sarah Ramsey. Catherine's going to... you had the microphone earlier. So I'm sorry, Catherine. This is Catherine. She's one of the team of seven that we commissioned about a month ago. And she is going to begin sharing a little bit about what God did. I'm going to flip through some slides and hopefully I can do the timing right. So take it, Catherine.
Hi. The first picture that you're seeing is a picture of the cafe. We had the opportunity to witness to women in prostitution there. So we took an afternoon and took supplies that you, the church, had donated and did a spa day for them. We did their makeup. We did their nails. We did their hair. We had the opportunity to love on women that no one had loved on and tell them, "You're beautiful and God thinks you're beautiful." The woman in charge of the cafe had hoped for 10 women. We prayed for 20. God sent 40. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
This sign is the sign for the cafe window, and it's called Something New Cafe.
I've been wondering I've been meaning to ask what that says.
Don't ask me to pronounce it. Okay. Something new.
Just a little something about the something new. Last year when our team went over, during our prayer walking of St. Georg, somebody prayed for something new to happen in Hamburg, and that just really struck with Anne. So that was one of the reasons she named the cafe Something New.
Anne, show them which one Anne is. She's kind of between, back row between Addie and Sarah, right? Isn't that Anne?
Yes.
She's got, see Sarah with the headband on the right side? Directly behind her is Anne. She's one of the locals that they worked with who kind of got this thing rolling. Sorry.
Forgiven. Okay, so today we sang March Around, which I thought was really awesome, because while we were in St. Georg, we literally marched around the buildings there, and we were praying for sin to be broken, for the bondage to be broken. And prayer was such a huge part of this trip, and it really resonated with me, because so often we're known to just pray once and be done, and I call it one and dunning it. But this trip, we persistently prayed for things, and we just, every day, all of us just praying continuously for things to happen in St. Georg, for things to be answered. And it was just amazing to persistently pray about something, because then we literally got to see God answering those prayers. And it was just so amazing to see God working there and to see what he can do when you don't just want and done it, and when you persistently pray for change and pray for things to happen. And it really encouraged us to keep going, to not give up, to not let the tiredness overcome us, and just to continue just praising God and seeing what he's doing there.
One of the things I was really nervous about going over there was the language barrier and not being able to reach the younger kids that don't speak English. And once we got there and started loving on the kids, it was just cool to see how love translated even when our words couldn't. And another thing was, Jason was talking to us one day about tithing and how we give 10% of our time and our money. And that was something that I'd never thought of before, like giving 10% of your time, which is 16 hours a week, towards ministry.
A lot of work to do.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that God taught me this trip, he started teaching me last year. I was able to go with the team last year. And he really was showing me that a big part of our job as the church is to encourage the body of Christ, to encourage and equip other saints, like Mike said. And we did a lot of that work last year with the local believers there. I think that we take for granted sometimes the community that we have, that we get to do this on Sundays. We get to encourage each other, and we have life groups and fellow believers that we do life with. But what would that look like in your life if you lived in a place where there was hardly anyone chasing Jesus like you were? That would be really discouraging, I feel like, especially in ministry, and probably really lonely. And so a big part of what we do is to encourage them and teach them new ways to do outreach and ministry. And we really saw God build on the work we did last year with the church. We went from last year being the team that came in and did a kids camp for this church to this year, them really stepping up and taking ownership of it in their community and being a huge part of what we were doing. The Sunday before we started kids camp, one of the ladies who helped us tremendously last year stood up, and she invited their congregation to not just be spectators this year, but to get really involved in the work we were doing in their community and in their church. And what she said struck me so much. She said, just like a housekeeper comes in and cleans your house, that's great to have that help. But at the end of the day, it's still your house, and it's your job to take care of it. So that was definitely something I came home with. Like, do I have that perspective about our community here that I take ownership and participate?
If you look, if you've seen some of the stuff that's up here, you guys didn't just work with the women. You also did, during the day, you did like a, we would call it a vacation Bible school there for the community, and help the local church do that. So they were busy all day long. And I didn't have any VBS pictures. I remember seeing some on Facebook, but... You have them? Okay. See Catherine if you want to see that ministry, that part of the ministry. But it's just a great opportunity for God to do this. And I thought of this scripture right here, the scripture out of Matthew chapter 8. You remember a leper comes up to Jesus and he falls at his feet and he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. These women have been touched wrongly by people all of their lives. I dare say there are some of them who have never been appropriately touched by another human being. Jesus, when that leper came to him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean, could have given the word. He could have done it from a distance. He could have made it happen. But Jesus let the event kind of unfold so that he had the opportunity to put hands on the guy and say, I'm willing. What these ladies did, what you did through them by sending them, supporting them, praying for them, encouraging them, what God may be calling you to be a part of in the future sometime, is to put hands on and to make that love of God a reality, like Sierra was talking about, translating and kind of transposing human boundaries and language and cultural and national boundaries. So maybe God's calling you out to do something like that. Thank you, ladies, so much for sharing. There are some other team members. Yeah, give them a hand. Let me introduce you to Buddy and Krista Brewer. They're California cool. They're from California. We got to meet them last year and begin a work with them. They live in this really cool... That, by the way, that's Jose on the left. We call him Biggie. And that's Gracie kind of in the middle. They're both adopted. both adopted children from Mexico. Really, really cool. And I don't know if they're watching or not. If they are, I'm going to say, what doing? Because that's what Jose says to me all the time. So anyway, love you guys. This is where they live. This is obviously not in the city. It is an hour plus out in the country in former East Germany. It's a 200-year-old barn that was converted into a farmhouse. The building on the right is the guest quarters that was formerly the pigsty. So I'm proud to say that I lived in a pigsty for a couple of weeks, and it was wonderful. But it's a great deal. They have been given this house by God to use as a safe house for the women or women like them that you saw in the previous part of the slide presentation. Buddy and Krista were, she was a teacher, he was in business, and God called them from California and sent them to Hamburg strictly on faith. They really didn't know why they were going. And when they got over there, God began to move in their hearts and began to develop this ministry, and they felt like they needed to have this safe house and provide this ministry. They didn't have the funds, they didn't have the place, they didn't know the people. The language was a problem. Guess what? Wasn't a problem for God. Because God introduced them, there's another picture of the house, that's the main house, it's three stories. The Germans actually, and the Russians used it as a lookout point during World War II. The very upper part was a lookout point because it's the highest house around in that regard. Tall guy kind of in the center next to me on my left in that picture is a German national by the name of Klaus. This property has in some form or another been in his family for hundreds of years. One of his distant relatives actually still lives next door and farms the deal. This house had fallen down and fallen apart, and Klaus's dad rebuilt it. The frame was the only thing that they kept, that house and the guest house. That's, by the way, just so you know, Buddy, on the left of the screen, Johnny Contreras, one of our team members who's sitting right over here against the wall, who does not want me to make him speak, but that's Johnny, who has mad skills in a billion different things, and he was absolutely phenomenal to have with us. He had never been out of the country, never flown a plane, and never skied, and he got to do all three of those things for the first time. Esther's still mad at me, but anyway, and then Joe Looney on the far right of the screen, one of our university students who went with us last year, who interned over there a little bit last year as well. It was a great team. It was a very small team, and we were a hands-on team to do construction mainly. We got to do some street ministry on a couple of nights, but our job really was to help take these women whose hands men have abused, and take some men who love, and to create something that can bless them and that can change them and transform them. Klaus, German national, inherited this house. He's a cello maker. He's moving to New York to build cellos for rich and famous people. He's about 7'7". He's tall. He's like 6'7". He's a big guy and has a heart for God like crazy. Raised in East and West Germany in a believing home, which is very rare. Inherited this place, tried to live there. God said to him, no, you're going to use this for ministry. This is my house. God connected the Brewers and Klaus, and they were trying to work out the money for the lease and all that kind of stuff, and God told Klaus, no, you give it to them. They do it rent-free. You can hang on to the house, but you give that house to them and let them do what they need to do for my work. And he's followed that. So bless God for that. We got to go in and do some stuff. Last year we put a floor in the upstairs. They had this old outbuilding. It was falling down, had no roof on it. And one part of the ministry is, Krista, God basically just reveals to her, listen, we're going to make horses a part of this. You're going to have an equine ministry to help minister to these ladies. She says, I don't know anything about horses, God. And God says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And so he begins to put people in her life that know about horses. And she talks to us about building a barn. She said, all we've got is this thing. What can you do with it? Well, we basically disassembled everything but the structure. Helped out with the structure, the roof a little bit more. We reframed everything and basically created a barn. It looks like this on the inside. You can see all the new framing and work that we did. It took a lot longer than we thought. It took us a full day just to clean it out. But there's enough now for a couple of horses in there. The fence will be added later, but they expect to have the horses in this October, November is what they're hoping for. Then our job was to tile bathrooms. They had some bathrooms with some pretty nasty floors. Here's Johnny prepping one of the floors for some tile that they were going to put in. There's Krista kind of finishing up last week, a little bit of touch-up stuff that we weren't able to finish before we had to leave, but you can see the finished floor there. There's a before, there's an after, there's the big bathroom upstairs, that's before, that's after. This is in the women's wing. This is so these women will have something suitable to really be for them. Folks, it's a great work that God allowed us to be a part of. So we rejoice in that, to partner with Him and partner with His people in doing that, but we also partner with you. Three things that I want to touch base about before we move forward. All of us, whether you went to Germany or not, you're on mission. If you call the name of Christ, if you claim Jesus, doesn't matter who you are, what you are, you could be a teacher in California and God sends you to Hamburg to start a ministry to women who have been trafficked. You see, God equips and God prepares the called. You don't have to prepare yourself, and there's nothing wrong with that, but be prepared for God to change away. All my training is in business. All my education is in business. What am I doing pastoring a church? I ask myself that every day. God equips the ones He calls. And if He's calling you, He will prepare you for that. But we're all on mission. Where we are, what we are. Jesus said this, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. How did God send the Son? How did the Father send the Son? He took Him from a throne of glory and He put Him in the muck of man. And then He said, listen, go live for them and die for them. That's what we're called to do. A second thing is we find that this mission is directed outwardly. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what the Lord wants to do with you and I. And whether that be here in Lubbock, whether that be here in the state of Texas or in the United States, or whether that be internationally, be open to that. Be aware of that. It says in 1 Chronicles 16 that we are to tell of His glory among the nations. We can't do that if we're self-absorbed all the time. We can't do that if we're so anthropomorphic, if we are so focused on ourselves. God says, listen, you're to tell of My glory to the nations. Over in Colossians chapter 4, there's kind of another expression of that where Paul writes through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, listen, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let me ask you something. Are you aware of the opportunities around you today? Will you be aware when you go to lunch or when you stop for gas or when you shop for food or when you go to trade, you know, this thing you bought because you got the wrong thing for the thing that you need? Are you going to be aware when you're talking to your neighbors? You're going to be aware when you're at work. You're going to be aware when you're driving. You're going to be aware when you're on the phone. It's amazing to me, day in and day out, how many opportunities I have. God just opens up the door. We just got to be aware and make the most of them. It's directed outwardly. A second thing that he says in that same passage, and a third truth, I would say, is this. The mission is very specific. It gets down to one-on-one. It gets down to one person. Paul wrote this. He said, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to respond to everyone. Let me ask you something. You know what that's saying? Learn how to talk to people about Me, God says. Learn how to say the appropriate thing. Study that. Know the Scriptures. Let me ask you something. Are you doing that? You ought to be. You ought to be becoming an expert in how to share Jesus with people so that you can recognize, hey, you know what? I need to say this now, or I don't need to say this yet. One of the cool things that kind of emerged out of the women's ministry is they earned the right to share. When you put your hands on people that have been told they are unlovable, that they are something, an object to be used and to be trafficked and to be sold and to be used up and then discarded, when you put hands on that and say, no, you're more than that, and you begin to speak grace into that, it seasons life. It lets them have hope. It gives them the opportunity to know there's something more there. And you can say yes, and the more is called Jesus Christ. You earn that right. And so you learn to apply those things very specifically. All of those are truths about the mission. And just three thoughts about the shareholders meeting today. The mission is about sending and supporting. These guys went because you gave. These guys went because you prayed. These guys went because you supported. Someday it may be you. I mean, would you ever have thought a couple of years ago that we would have the opportunity to do that? Some of these ladies that were up here would have told you, no way I will ever get to do something like that. Johnny would be able to testify, no way I ever thought I would get to do something like that. True? True, never thought I would get to this. You should have seen his eyes the first time the 777 took off in Dallas. They were about this big. It was like, whoa, you know? And you just realize God takes the improbable and makes it possible. And that includes you. So it involves sending and supporting. Not everybody goes. For that first missionary journey in the book of Acts, there was a whole congregation in Antioch that funded that, that prayed for that, that supported that, that looked forward to what God was going to do. They had all of these guys there, and God said, I want two guys to go. Pull out for me Barnabas and Saul and send them on this. But that doesn't mean you don't have a part or that you're not a part. You're a shareholder in it. Second thing, it involves going and doing. And notice what it says in Acts chapter 13, verse 4. It says that the church prayed for them and laid hands on them and sent them out. But look what it says in 4. And being sent out by who? The Holy Spirit. It's connected with God's work. This is not the Heights work. This is not Team A's work or Team 2's work. This is God's work that you and I are called and sent out on. And the third thing is this. It certainly involves returning and reporting, because you guys need to be encouraged to know your investment paid off in a very, very big way. And that's why the scripture that we noted earlier in here comes into play. And they gathered the church together and they shared and they told them all that God had done, and they spent a long time with the disciples. Praise God for that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's applaud that. Let's applaud what God has done. It leads us to a couple of insights, and then we're going to share in the Lord's Supper together, and it's going to be really, really powerful. The first insight is this, that this work is not attempted by a few souls. It is accomplished by a body of shareholders. You've got buy-in. Understand that. A second insight is this. If you sense, if you suspect, if you're suspicious, if you think that God might be prompting something like this out of you, locally, there's many opportunities. Here within the building, there are incredible opportunities. God may be calling some of you into children's ministry, or youth ministry, or university ministry, or hospitality ministry, or greeting ministry. God may be, and that's just a few. Don't ignore that. What would have happened if Ann would have said, you know what, God, I'm not interested in the prostitutes down in the St. Georg district. I'm not interested in the trafficked women in the Reaper Bond. What would have happened if Krista would have said, you know what, God, we don't really want to go to Germany. We know nothing about Germans. What if Buddy would have said, I'm too comfortable working for Dole Pineapple to go? What would happen if Klaus said, no, God, this is my house. It's been multi-generational in my families. How could I possibly give that up? I mean, somebody's got to keep this place up. And yet you see miracles happen because people said, okay, God, here it is. If you suspect that He's prompting you, then here's what you do. Start now. Start now praying. Start now planning. Maybe for some of us, the step of faith is go get a passport. Start putting aside money. Start looking at time. Like Sierra was talking about, tithing on your time. Give that to the Lord and say, Lord, multiply this. Think about the possibilities. And you know what? Some of you guys may do all that and you may not be the one who goes. Did you know we had people this year who would walk up and say, you know what, I've been saving for this, but I'm not the one that's supposed to go. Somebody else is supposed to go use this for them. You make that happen because you're shareholders. But if you suspect it, start planning, start praying, start putting aside now. Now the question ultimately comes down to this. Why are we doing this? Trust me, as noble as it is, it's not because we want to be humanitarians. That's a byproduct. That's a benefit. It's not because we want to be socially responsible. that's noble as well. It's not because we want to be culturally sensitive even. It's for one reason only, the compelling reason that we do this, that we as shareholders participate in this, is this, that if you claim the name of Christ, you are blood-bought, spirit-powered, divinely commissioned individuals who have been saved out of the humanity of this earth and then sent out as a part of God's great purpose to reach the nations. Amen to that? So, what we're about to celebrate then is huge. This Lord's Supper thing is massive. Because here we see represented in physical kind of form, a picture, an illustration, a symbol of what makes this happen. Because the Son of Glory stepped off of His throne and lived among us, and then spread His arms on a cross and died to give us a divine embrace of salvation.
Thank you, Jesus.
You can know no sin, no guilt, no shame, salvation, righteousness given to you by God, so that you can step in eternity with the confidence that you will always be His. Amen?
Amen.
And so this morning, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, here's what I want you to know. If you're new to the Heights, this is your first Sunday here, you're going, man, I wish I'd have known that. I'd have gone somewhere else today. No. You're here. We are an open communion church. Here's what that means. That if you're a believer, if you've claimed the name of Jesus, if He has washed you of your sin, if He's forgiven you, if He's planted His Spirit inside of you to live as a down payment that He will keep you for all eternity, you are welcome to pull up at the table today and remember with us. Whether you're a member of the Heights or not, we want you to be a part of this. What if you haven't done that? Then please do this. You watch, you observe as these elements are broken, are taken in. This is what God is asking you to do. Take this broken body of Christ, which is just symbolic in the broken bread. Take this blood of Christ, which is symbolic in the juice that's in the cup. And realize that literally, in eternity, back in the day, Jesus' body was broken for you on the cross. His blood was shed for you on the cross. And that sacrifice makes it entirely possible for you to know the love and salvation of God and to have all of those benefits we talked about a minute ago taken care of. Sins forgiven, guilt taken away, righteousness imputed, guarantee of glory. And you watch, and maybe somewhere in the course of that, God is going to speak to you and say, why not you? Why not today? Trust me and me alone. Don't try to work out your salvation. Don't try to do some self-styled version that includes me. You trust me alone. And if you will do that, I promise you, God will transform and change you forever. Amen? So the band's going to come, and we're going to invite you guys as individuals, as couples, as families, as life groups, as friends, to go at some point during the worship and begin to share in the Lord's Supper. We have a table on the east wall and the west wall, as well as this one down front. We invite you guys to do that. Hey, and if there's somebody sitting alone, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, do you want to come sharing this with us? It was really beautiful first service to see that happen all the time. Or if you want somebody to just pray with you, say, hey, just kind of tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, I need somebody to pray with me. Can you do that right now? Lots of that going on last service as well. Why not here? Why not now? Let's pray, band. You guys come and we'll begin to prepare for this. Heavenly Father, we thank You for salvation. Lord, we thank You for a reason to go and a reason to be involved. We thank You that it's not just of human origin, but it's because of divine purpose. That because You sent Your Son, so You send us. And in the way You sent Him, so You send us. Lord, we thank You for the work that You did in Germany. We pray for Buddy and Krista and their family. We pray for Klaus. We pray for Jason and Karen and their family. Father, we pray for the church in Hamburg. We pray that just as the ladies prayed, Lord, that the power of the enemy would be broken. Father, that lives that are in physical bondage will know physical freedom, but more than that, that lives that are in emotional and spiritual bondage would be free forever. Father, you can do this. We believe. We know. So, Father, bring victory. Right now, as nighttime falls on the city of Hamburg, I pray that the enemy would be held at bay. That, Father, the light of hope would go forth, and that as the sun arises tomorrow, Lord, in a life somewhere, you are making a difference that's going to affect them socially, politically, but, Lord, more than that, eternally and spiritually. Lord, give them favor. Give them opportunity. Lord, help them to walk boldly through the door to share. Lord, as we celebrate this Lord's Supper, I pray for someone in this room that his or her darkness would be broken, that his or her bondage would be severed. Father, freedom would come as we celebrate you in Jesus' name.